Tonight I'm going to be speaking on maturity. I had something else that I was going to preach on, and I was like studying like all week on it, and then God said, "That's what you want to preach. That's not what He wanted me to preach." So just the other day, He revealed to me that He wanted me to talk on maturity, so that's what we're going to be talking about. We'll begin by praying. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank You for this wonderful opportunity for You to use me to speak Your word, and I pray that You would just speak through me, and that we would all learn from this and gain from this, that we become more spiritually mature, and become the servants and the children that You call us to be, Lord. So I just ask Your blessing upon this time, and I ask that we all would hear Your word, and hear what You have to say. I pray these things in the name of Your Son. Amen. Alright, so when I was looking at maturity, the first thing I thought was necessary was to fix this. Okay, so the definition of maturity, when I looked it up online at dictionary.com, was the state of being mature, ripeness, the full development, or perfect condition. And what stood out to me there was the word ripeness, being ripe for picking. It reminded me of bearing fruit, how a tree, when it bears fruit and it's ripe, and maturity requires us to bear fruit. And the question that I had there was, as Christians, when will we be ripe or fully developed, and are we working towards those goals? I began to think about how society in our world defines mature. And the first thing that came to my mind was movies. A mature movie, it's not in perfect condition. It's not ripeness. I mean, if you know anything about mature movies, they're inappropriate. They're like the exact opposite of mature. They're filled with murder, sex, the inappropriate things that we shouldn't be looking at, but they label it mature because maturity to them means that we've gotten to the point where we can stand that kind of stuff and we can deal with that, but we shouldn't. As I was a child, and as I'm sure you guys were children, we were always told that we need to grow up, that we need to mature. But how were we supposed to grow up? What were we supposed to grow into? And if you look at what the world considers mature and what we look at as mature, and when I was a kid, I always thought my parents are mature. They're older. They've dealt with experience. They have wisdom. And I still think today that parents are still looked at as being mature. But if you look at some parents, I would not call them mature. In fact, some of them act the furthest from being mature. And there's just so much pressure when you're young to be mature and to grow up. But you're never really told what you need to grow up into, what mature actually means. And when it comes down to it, so often is age associated with maturity. Older people are more mature. And usually that's so, but not always. It doesn't mean that when you get older, you're going to be more mature. It takes time to mature, but spiritual maturity takes much more than just time. It takes dedication. It takes change. It takes effort. It takes prayer. During my fall semester, I was probably one of the most immature kids at my college, because I was loud and I was obnoxious, and I yell a lot and I jump around, and my grades weren't good because I didn't apply myself like I should have. I didn't dedicate myself. I wasn't doing my devotions regularly like I should have. But over winter break, like right before winter break, my college, we had these groups that we got into with the RAs of the college, the resident assistants, and they would sit down and they'd do devotions with us once a week. And the big thing was maturity, because at the college, we're young kids and we're immature, and we act immature. And we were sitting down, and so the RA was leading the devotion, and it was about maturity. And we all decided there that we need to be more mature, that we need to dedicate ourselves to becoming more Christ-like. And it was then that the RA decided, if you guys continue in your immaturity and your jokes and such, that he was going to write us up. And at our school, if you get 3 write-ups, that's a $25 fine. You get 4, that's a $50 fine. And that just doubles and doubles and doubles. So, and it was a nice little way of saying, hey, you guys are going to get more mature. You're going to pay for it. And sometimes I think we need that. Because not to have to pay money if we're immature. But we need someone there to say, hey, are you doing this right? Are you being mature? Is what you're doing Christ-like? So as we're born into this world, we're born into a world of sin, but we don't have to die in sin, and we shouldn't die in sin. On our path to maturity, God makes us the adults we need to be. During this whole maturity kick thing, which they're still working on it. We all still are. And when we talk to each other, we correct each other. And it's a wonderful environment at the college that we can do that and not be made fun of or picked on for it. But one of the verses that stuck out was 1 Corinthians 13:11. It says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Addressed here are 3 forms of immaturity. The first being speech. It's not just the way we talk or the words we use, but also what we are saying. What do others see? What do they hear from us? As we look at children and the way they talk, and half the time you can't even understand children when they're young, and their words, they just don't make sense. Like my nephew Caden, like my parents tell me that he talks all the time. The only word I have ever heard him say is hi, and then blah, blah, blah. And I have no idea what he's saying. But as they grow older, what do they talk about? Do they quarrel over toys and pointless things? Or do they speak the truth of God to the world? Do we quarrel over pointless things? But speaking here can also represent any outward expression, I believe. Does all that we do and say represent Christ? Or do we act like children? The second thing that he talks about here is understanding. As he says that he understood as a child. The knowledge and wisdom that we have and what we have come to understand as the truth. As children, we have very little understanding of the world and God. And I know that when children go to church, and I know like many of the children here at this church astound me with what they know, because I don't think I knew that when I went to Sunday school when I was younger. I just learned those nice little songs. But I heard the other day someone was telling me how it was Deborah. She was telling me about her mom and how she did this like preschool teaching thing, and she was teaching the kids Bible songs and also asked them questions about God and like who created the world, and their answer was God. And this wasn't a church thing, and it was just awesome to hear that they knew who created the earth and they knew it was God. But I tend to think that maybe they don't fully understand it. And sometimes maybe Christians don't. As we're brought up and we're told that God created the universe, God created the world, God created the earth. Does our understanding stop there? Or do we dive into His Word to gain more understanding? Do we pray and do we talk and do we communicate with God to hear what He has to say, to gain our understanding of the world that He created and what He has for us to do? And to gain this understanding, we must listen to Him. So many times you hear people pray and all they say is, God, can I have this or can I have that? But we can talk to God as one-on-one, and we can just enjoy the fellowship. And he has his ways of speaking back, and we have to listen. So we should be spending time in God's Word and with God in prayer in order to receive His wisdom. The third thing in this verse is our thoughts, which may be one of the most important. What do we think about? What are our desires? Are your desires for the Lord and the will of the Lord? What do you spend your time thinking about? And are your thoughts pure and devoted to God? I was reading one devotion a while back, and it just, right before I came up here, I was just thinking about this. And it said something about your final thoughts before you go to bed. What are they? Because that'll show you what's on your mind most of the time. Like, when you go to bed, what are you thinking about as you fall asleep? What comforts you? Looking at another passage, we see how God matures us and turns us from children to the adults that we need to be. James 1, verse 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." The perfect and complete there is the mature part that I picked out. Because when we reach maturity, we will be perfect and complete. But we have to grow with patience. I noted here that to become mature and perfect, Christ is mature and perfect, and it can only be completed with Christ and through Christ. And that He will test our faith. In verse 5 it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." This kind of goes with the understanding. But I believe it applies to the whole of maturity. That we can ask God for anything. And that He desires us to be mature. He desires us to be Christ-like. And He will willingly make us into the perfection that He has planned for us. When it comes to the testing of faith, one story stood out to me in the Bible that I'm sure we're all familiar with. The story of Abraham and Isaac. As God shows his maturity, or Abraham shows his maturity there, as when God calls him, he says, "Lord, I am here," or "I am here, Lord." And God asks him to sacrifice his son on the altar, and he goes and he just puts his son on the altar. And that just shows his faith and develops his maturity. But what does real maturity look like? Maturity is being like Christ. So the next question we have is, what is Christ like? And I can't list all the attributes of Christ, but you can find them all in here. And that's a wonderful reason to read that. But Jesus was sinless. A feat that men too often look at as impossible. We were born with sin, but we no longer have to be a part of sin. In fact, if we are a part of Christ, then we won't sin. As we see in 1 John 3, 4-6, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him, there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Now, Jesus wasn't just sinless. Others could see that he was sinless. Jesus spoke the truth, and he spread the word of his Father. And if you think about it, he even went as far as dying on the cross for our sins and for our immaturity. Throughout the entire New Testament, we can just see what being Christ-like means. And this is one of the reasons that to reach our maturity, we have to read God's Word to gain our understanding of what maturity really is. Maturity requires us to bear fruit and be one with Christ. John 15, starting verse 1, says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. God wants us to bear fruit. But in order for us to bear fruit, we have to abide in Christ. We read here that without Christ, the branch withers. It says that even, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. But in verse 2, it promises that the branch that bears fruit will be pruned. That God will work in us. That if we're bearing fruit, that God wants us to bear more fruit. Maturity is often looked at as an outward expression. And to an extent, it should be. Because it involves our speech and our actions and what others see. But it goes much further than the surface. The surface is just what the world gets to see. But it reflects many times what's on the inside, what our thoughts are, what do we understand about the Bible, about God. And the last thing about reaching maturity is in Matthew 19, a man comes up to Jesus and he's asking what he has to do to receive eternal life. And Christ tells him to follow the commandments. And he's like, I've done that. What more do I have to do? In Matthew 19:21, Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. What stood out more than anything there to me is not the fact that he was told to give up everything, but the fact that he was told to follow God, to follow Christ. Maturity and perfection, it throws out the world, but there's more to it. There's more to than just following the Old Testament commandments. There's more to it than giving up everything we have. We have to follow Christ. We have to dedicate our lives to Christ. Maturity requires us to sacrifice, to strive to be like Christ, to represent Christ in speech, to further our understanding of Christ, to spend our thoughts, our every thought, and all our prayers on the will of God. Maturity is becoming like Christ. I know that was short, but I think it was to the point.